Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for Inspirational Wednesday. I'm your host, Diane Adams, and I come to you with this assignment tonight from God. You know, it's never predicated on who we are. What we can do is what God wants to happen in and through of us, and through us. But we have to stay in position to be used by God. Our lesson tonight, as we know that I have printed, is what God has for you is for you. We coming from the book of Joshua, the second chapter, the first through the 22nd verse. You know, there's a lot going on in our world today. You know, in the city of New Orleans, the New Orleans East has been, much of New Orleans East has been destroyed by the tornado that touched down on the other day. A lot of people have lost their homes and their cars, but through the grace of God, no one lost their life. We have people that are injured, but no one lost their life, and for that we have to give God glory, honor, and praise. You know, it is a hard time, and even though God may not have orchestrated it, but he did allow it. But if we trust God, we still have to go on and realize that God is going to work it out for the good. But I'm asking that you guys pray for the people in New Orleans East. You know, they went to work, plenty of them, and they came home and they didn't have a house. You know, some of them may have been on vacation and they had to get the news. You know, we all know how it feels, so we could empathize with them because, you know, we went through Katrina. And I thank God that he spared, because, see, with Katrina, the whole city was down. And we couldn't go to our friends, our neighbors, or other family members in the city, because all of us had the same destruction. I don't know what else to say about it, but it is a terrible thing that has happened to the people. They need our prayers and our support, just as someone helped you during a time through Katrina. Don't turn your back on the people. Find a way that you can make a difference. Allow God to use you as he used others for you. So let's be prayerful for those people. And right now, even in the midst of all of our storms, God gives us joy. You know, joy can stand up and stand against the tides and the trials and tribulations that come in our lives. The book of James says not if, they say, but when trials come, count it all joy. God is still in control. God is still working it out. God is in the middle of anything that happened in your life. And God is loving on you because you're his. So I want you to keep that in mind. And what I'm going to do now is play a song. And once the song is over, I'm going to come back and we're going to go to the throne of grace. And as always, if any one of you would like to pray, you could press the one button on your phone. The song that I'm going to play, you know, it just touched my heart, because with everything that's going on, you know, I'm out of words with to say my spirit is is torn for the people, and not just those people, but my friends and loved ones that is dealing with the death of their loved ones at this time, and my friends and family and neighbors are dealing with sickness, and cancer is on a rampage, and it's just all kind of things that is happening. And God say, hold on to the confession of our faith, because it's what's going to get us through these trying times. So I'm going to play this song because, you know, sometimes you don't know what to say and sometimes you don't know how to say it. But if we use this little song and we do this, God will bring us through. The name of the song is, I Just Want to Say Thank You. Even in the midst of the storms, even in the midst of everything that's going on, God still deserves the honor, the glory, and the praise. Listen to the song and be blessed.
Turn, turn, turn. bitty thing you've done in my life. I say thank you. Just want to thank you. I shall say thank you. Oh, thank you. Hey, I thank you. Just want to say thank you.
And the name of that song is I Just Want to Say Thank You. You know, when we live our lives on this earth, there are going to be situations, trials, tribulations, adversities, letdowns, you know, failures, and everything is going to happen because we live in this world. And God said we got to learn that we live in the world, but we not of the world. But if you're not separating yourself from the world, then you don't know how kingdom living is. You don't know how you should do and react when things happen and when you go through. Because it's never what we go through. It's always who we go through it with. And if you trust God, you could go through any kind of storm. Letting him be the orchestrator of the symphony of your life. Let him be the ship captain, guiding a ship through the storms in your life. You have to look to him who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Well, we have some more callers came on the line, but we need to go to the throne of grace, and it's now time to pray. And if anyone would like to pray, press the one button on the phone, and I'll open up the mic, and you could pray. When I ask this question, I'm not trying to put anybody on the spot, but I'm allowing, God has allowed me to provide an opportunity for each and every one of you, a forum where you could pray. And what greater thing is to pray across the airways? We don't know all of the people that's calling in, and we don't know the people that's going to get the message over the internet. And we don't know the last time we'll get to pray. But since no one has pressed the one button, I'm going to go ahead on and bring us to the throne of grace. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, just like the record said, dear God, I just want to say thank you. Thank you, dear God, for being such a good God, a merciful God, a patient God, a loving God. Come on, y'all. I just want to thank you, dear God, for your mercy and your grace, dear God. I want to thank you for your Son, and I want to thank you for your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, as I call upon your name, I'm asking that you not let the word return void, that you will give out illumination and revelation that the people of God can use for all of their lives. I pray that you open their ears and that you circumcise their hearts and that you open their eyes wide open that they could receive the message that you presenting on tonight. Heavenly Father, I know everything in the word of God is for us, for reproof, for correction, and to build us up and to edify us, give us examples of what to do and not to do, and give us your examples of your people, your men and women of the Bible, that we can learn to take what they did well and don't do what they did wrong. Lord, I'm asking that you look down upon the sick and the shut in every way. Look down upon the people in New Orleans East, where the hurricane, where the tornado touched down. Look down upon the sick and the shut in. Look down upon the bereaved, dear God. Lord, because you say you're a heart fixer and a mind regulator, and I believe you, and I thank you. Lord, I'm saying and asking that you have your way with this lesson on tonight. Lord, some people may be calling in for this, and some others may be calling because they have a need for that. But God, you know each person that's on this line. You know every person that's going to listen on the internet. And, Lord, I pray whatever they're looking for, that it will be found in Christ Jesus. Amen and thank God. Well, the title of our lesson tonight is What God Has for You is for You. We're coming from the book of Joshua, Joshua the second chapter, the first through the 22nd verse. You know, some weeks ago we decided that I would go through the Bible, and we have already did the first five books of the Bible, which is called the Law and the Pentateuch. You see, the Old Testament is divided into three sections. The first part is the law. That's what we just studied these 5 weeks behind. The prophets, they had major prophets and minor prophets. And then there's the writing, like they say, the history. You know, the law consists of five books of scriptures that contains the historical background for creation and God's choosing of Abraham and the Jewish nation as his chosen people. They also contain instructions and law given to Israel at Mount Sinai. You see, that was the first time that the laws was given. And we go through all of this book, especially the last book, where we'll see that it was repeated because a whole new generation had came about and they hadn't saw the miracles of God. And I pray that you remember that from the other lessons. You see, the first five books of the Bible that makes up the law are the beginnings of God's progressive revelation of himself to man. See, in the Old Testament, God was trying to show him who he was, what he can do, what he was working with, and what he would do for them. You see, God dwelt among his people in the Old Testament. Many times you see in the Old Testament where they say God say it to Moses. When you read that, you're supposed to sit back and get ready and listen to the words of God. If you ever want to hear God speaking to you, you have to go to the Old Testament. And then if you want Jesus to have a little talk with you and tell you one of his prayers or give you one of his teaching, you come to the New Testament. But it's all going to work together for your good. And how fast and how far you go with it depends on you. You see, in the Old Testament, he dwelt among his people. In the New Testament, he lives inside of his people by his Spirit, the Holy Ghost. You see, we started off with Genesis, and I'm just doing a reflection on the five books that we went over because we're fixing to leave them, and Joshua starts a new chapter. You see, Genesis, which means the beginning, we find the beginning of creation. Hallelujah. God created everything. The fall of man. The promise of redemption. You see, soon after man fell in the second chapter of Genesis, man fell. But God also, by the 15th chapter, told you that he had a promise of redemption, talking about the Savior coming. You know, everything in the Bible points to Jesus, but you got to really pay attention and catch it. You see, also in the book of Genesis, the beginning of human civilization and the beginning of God's covenant with Abraham. So you see, way back in Genesis, when we did Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, all of that was God fulfilling the promise that he had made to Abraham. If God told it to Abraham, even though it took them many, 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 many years, God was still going to do what he said. And we have to remember, it's not our time, but God's time. And plenty of times, as we see when we read that, because of our disobedience, it takes and adds more time. You see, after Genesis, it was Exodus. Exodus means to exit out. In Exodus, it records God's deliverance of his covenant people from the bondage of slavery. In the bondage of slavery. And the preparation for their possession of the promised land that he had set aside for them. Hallelujah. Then we go in Exodus, and Exodus record the deliverance of Israel from Egypt after 400 years in slavery. They had been bound in Egypt for 400 years, and they had not in the beginning, because it was all good. But you know, sometimes you could be at a job and your boss is loving on you and you loving on your boss and everything is all right. He respect you, you respect him, and y'all could co-mingle together. But you see, what happened when Joseph came to Israel, Pharaoh respected Joseph so much and allowed his people to come, and they grew so large. A new king had came, and he didn't have no ties to Joseph. He ain't had no allegiance for Joseph, and they made him slaves. Hallelujah. And they stayed slaves for 400 years, and of course we know the story. They cried out, and God sent Moses. You say, why Moses? But the title of our lesson is What God Has For You Is For You. God chose Moses. Hallelujah. You see, in it, the book of Exodus, we find the covenant that God makes with Israel at Mount Sinai. Instructions for building a temple and giving the Ten Commandments and other instructions on how Israel was to worship God. That's in the books, y'all. Then we come on to Leviticus. You see, Leviticus, which deal with the priesthood, it follows Exodus and it expands on the instructions how a covenant people what to worship God and govern themselves. It lays forth the requirement for the sacrificial system that would allow. Now, y'all get this now. God put in place the sacrifices, burning the bulls, the cows, whatever. He told them how he wanted them to sacrifice it, when and where, and all of these things. See, when God wants you to do something, he wants you to do it the way he wants you to do it. You ain't got to understand it. You know, when I was reading that, and they say, get the bull and bring the bull, and then you do this to the bull, and you put the bowl right there, and you go back outside, and then you wash your hands, and you come back inside, and you do something else, and then you go back outside, and you might have to change your clothes, and you did this, and you did this, and you did this, and you did that. And when I was reading that, all I could say is, thank God for Jesus. But you see, he was teaching them the sacrificial system that he would allow, that would allow him to overlook the sins of his people until, see, the sacrifices and the laws that was put in place was never there to be able to redeem you. It was there for God to allow him to be able to partake with you at that level, but it was only temporary. So understand that. But that's what he had in place until the perfect and ultimate sacrifice of Jesus Christ would provide total redemption and completely atone for the sins of the people. The bulls and the goats covered the sins. Jesus' blood took all away the sins. The sacrificing of animals was temporary. And the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is eternal. I got to say hallelujah on that. You see, and after we left Leviticus, we went to Numbers. And Numbers means in the wilderness, which covers key events during the 40 years of Israel wandering in the wilderness, as well as in additional instructions for worship. Worshiping God. The last book is Deuteronomy. And Deuteronomy is called the second law, or repetition of the law. See, Deuteronomy, the word means, the D-E-U-T means two. So it's really like Moses is now repeating everything that he had said. Many of the people he was repeating it to didn't see everything, wasn't at Mount Sinai, and didn't see the parting of the Red Sea, was there and was not there to experience the Passover. This was a new generation because of disobedience. Everyone over 20 that was military ready had died out. They're about to go into the promised land. So Moses is now reiterating the laws, and he's giving instructions, and he's teaching the new generation. You see, in Deuteronomy, we find God's laws and standards that were given to Israel at Mount Sinai, repeated and expounded upon by Moses as Israel was to move into a new chapter of their history of God's chosen nation. Moses is reminding them not only of God's commandments, but also their responsibilities, but also the blessings that they will receive by obeying God and the curses that will come from disobedience. Now, if you looked at those four books, they right now fixing to go into the promised land that had been promised, as we say it to Abraham, thousands of years ago. And we know from last week that Moses didn't get to the promised land, that God had assigned Joshua to be the next in charge. And you see, when God got something for you, it's for you. You know, in the old days, that a man, he had his son, and his son would supersede him, and the son would get the promise just because he was the son, he would inherit. Isn't it amazing that Moses had two sons? But God chose Joshua. That's how it's happening sometime in our lives. Some of the things we receive from God, there's no reason we could even believe that we could get that much favor. But God blesses who he wants, when he wants, how he wants, because he wants. So Joshua is fixing to lead them over. Now, right then, the promised land is in Canaan. But between where they are right now in Canaan, they had the Jordan River. So let's keep it in mind. Now, you know the promised land was going to be given to all the 12 tribes of Israel, which was Jacob's sons. So God gave some of them the land on this side of the Jordan, but they had people there. But they went and they fought them and they got rid of them. Read your books, babies. So now the other part of the promised land, you got to cross over to Jordan. In the story tonight, I'm going to have some information on what happened. So I'm just getting you up to date. And some people say the book is not in order. We did Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And now the next step is to cross into the promised land. And the Bible have the book of Joshua placed there. And if you read what I asked you, you read the first, second, and third chapter to give you some background, how the land was going to be received and why. And now I chose the second chapter, the first through the 22nd verse, because of my title, What's For You Is For You, and showing you how God deals with people. And when we get through with this lesson, just like he deals with people, you need to be able to understand he could deal with you in that same way. So I'm going to start reading the scripture, and I'm going to read from 1 to 7. And the scripture reads as follows. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out two Shittimites, two men to spy secretly. Now, you remember they sent the spies into to spy out the promised land, and they came back with a bad report. There's nothing new under the sun. Joshua is fixing to go over there, and he sent out two spies, but he didn't tell everybody like they had done before. That's why I said he sent them out secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. Now, you might say, why they went to the harlot house? First of all, a harlot house had strangers and people walking all in. You got to remember those places when they had people coming to buy and do business and, I guess, go to the bars or whatever. Men always want to be with women of the night, and they would go there. So they figured if they go there, they could mingle in better because they were spies. That was a good little thing. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. He said, you know, that's the king saying, look, we got word that they're going to have some men come and search us out. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab. They probably told him they went in Rahab's place. You know, somebody, don't you ever think nobody see you doing something. No matter what you do, how you do it, somebody sees you. So when you walking around with this big, great thing of secrecy, I want to tell you tonight that there's not too much that's secretive under the sun. I'm not saying go expose yourself and tell everybody your business, but don't get so hung up in secrets. And I'm going to use this little example. I went and seen the movie Fences. In the movie, the man was building a fence. And plenty of things, you know, I didn't. At first, I couldn't get into the movie. But after I left, and maybe the next day I wanted to reflect on it, and what I came up with was that he was building a fence to keep people out. But he also, with building the fence, he wanted to keep people out, but he also fenced himself in. And what I'm saying by that, open up your mind. The Bible says if you want to have friends, you got to first be friendly. Form some relationships, because you never know when you're going to need somebody. You know, it's good to say, oh, I don't fool with nobody. I don't. All that's fine and good till you need somebody. You see, and on number three, the king of Jericho sent out to Rahab saying, bring forth the men that has come to thee, which are entered into thine house. He didn't say that maybe they're in there. He knew they went in there because somebody told him. For they saying, bring forth the men that had come to thee, which has entered our house. He didn't say, I think. For they become to search out the country. And the woman, which is Rahab, took the two men and hid them, and said thus, there came men unto me, but I withered not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting the gates. Remember, back those days, Jerusalem, Jericho, all of these towns was all had surroundings of gates and walls because that was their protection. Jerusalem, if you go to Jerusalem today, there's a wall. Many cities, many cities in Israel still have walls today. They live within the walls. But it came to pass about the time of shutting the gate when it was dark that the men went out. Whither the men went, I know not. And she said, pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. That's what she told him. I don't know who they was. I don't know where they went. They're not here, you know. That's what she told him. But she had brought them on the roof of her house and hid them under a stack of flax material, which she had laid in order on her roof. And the men pursued after them the way to the Jordan, unto the fords. And as soon as they pursued after them, were gone out, they shut the gate. She told them they was here. They gone. I don't know where they go. You better go get them quickly. She was throwing them off. Now, this Rahab, the prostitute. You see, the Israelites was about to enter the promised land. But, you know, you got to realize that they had to conquer the lands because the Canaanites were living on all of the land that God had given them. And you might say, well, if these people was living on, and it always makes me think about the Indians who say white people stole their land. You might say, if all these people was living on this land, why would God promise it to Moses, number one, and why would God go there and fight the battles and most of the time killed everybody on the land to give it to his nation? Well, first of all, God could do what he wants. Second of all, God owned all the land. The Bible said the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, and everything is in it. God could do what he wants with his stuff, number two. And third, if you go back, Canaan was Noah's grandson. Canaan's father was Ham that received received, that receive a curse from God after they went in and saw the nakedness of Noah while he was drunk. And a part of his curse from that long time ago, God said he will remove them from the land and let the Israelites live there. You got to look, you got to read, you got to know the history before you could be able to connect the dots. You see, they were about to receive the promised land God had given to Abraham. You see, Jericho was on the other side of the Jordan River, just as, and you see what I'm saying right now, just as God parted the Red Sea, he also made the waters of the Jordan River to heap up on the sides. In other words, he took the water and let them heap up, and all of them got to the side, which made the center dry land, hallelujah, for them to walk over it. So the Red Sea wasn't the first time God command the seas and the rivers and the ocean to do what he wanted to do, hallelujah. He took the water in the Jordan and made it heap on his sides, and he allowed the children of Israel to walk through to get on the other side. So besides on this side of Jordan, I told you he gave to one of the tribes. But you know what he told that tribe? He said, this is your land. He said, but you set yourself up. But every man that is able and willing to work, he said, I want you to go to all 12 tribes. Have received their land. Don't get comfortable in what you got. You see, the fight is still got to go on. You know, sometimes we get complacent and we get comfortable in where we are, and we don't participate or realize that they may need some help over there, and they may need some help right here. But God told them, he said, set it up. Put your children and your wife, set your tents, get them comfortable, and you go with the rest of the men till all the land is conquered. So one tribe had the land on the east side, I think it's the east side, but on that side of the Jordan, and then they had to cross over the Jordan, and then that was going to be the next one, the first of the next one that they had to conquer. So they went over there, and Jericho was the city that was there, and Joshua sent out the spies. You see, the city of Jericho had two sets of walls. Hallelujah, for their protection. They were ready. But they didn't know that there was still no match for God. You see, Scripture tells us, if you read all about it and you already know about Jericho, that the walls of Jericho did come tumbling down. That's the story where God told them to march around seven times and blow your horn, and the walls came down, and Joshua did fit the battle of Jericho. That's a song we used to sing when we was little, Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. But they went to the harlot's house, and her name was Rahab. You know what Rahab did? She protected them, as we saw in the scripture. She also God is so good, y'all. God used a prostitute to protect his people. God used everything that he created for his glory. And they went on a mission for God and his people. Wherever God send you, he's going to make the provisions. And right here he had Rahab, the prostitute, living on a wall. And they went to her. She protected them. She hid them. And she even lied for them. A lot of people get twisted up. They say lying is a sin. First of all, Rahab was a Gentile. She had never been taught the laws. She wasn't able to go into the temples. She didn't have no formal treating. So let's not get so twisted with that. And she worshiped other gods. But it is clear that Rahab had perception. She was intelligent. and she was well informed. You see, Rahab identified the spies for what they were. She knew they was not of her people. She knew they worshiped other gods, but she knew they came from the God that we're going to see that she learned to have faith in. You know, she hid them, and she made a good story, which to deceive the king's agents. Rahab didn't deny that she had entertained the men. She said that they left at dark when it would be difficult for anyone to be sure of clearly seeing anything. You know, the agents did not dare risk the stopping and searching her. See, when they talk about God working it out for you good, see what they could have said, like, nah, they tell you, I got a search warrant and I need to search your house. But because they figured the men had kind of just left, it would have been, they would have set themselves back by trying to search her whole house and giving the spies more time to get away. So they took what she said, and she left. And then, you know, after that, she gives some good advice. Now, you know, earlier I told you that the Canaanites was cursed, and God was taking their land, and I guess you could put that together because she was in Jericho, and it was the land of the Canaanites. But you see, finally, the Canaanite prostitute gives the two Israelites excellent advice. She tells them to hide in the hills for 3 days before attempting to cross the Jordan. Now, that was a prostitute giving advice, and it was the best advice they could get. How many times people give you advice, and because who they are, you don't want to receive it? You know, if someone tell you something, if it makes sense and it seems to be what you need, use it. And then it goes on to the scripture. I'm going to read 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I'm going to go all the way to the 13th verse. And the scriptures reads as follows. And before they were laid down, that's when she had put them on a roof. They were fixing to lay down because they had to wait before they could leave. She came up unto them on the roof, and she said to them, I know that the Lord has given you this land. Look what she's saying. Hey, y'all going to come and conquer all of the land, and yeah, I'm a Canaanite, we own it, but I know your God has given you this land, and that your terror is falling upon us. And we believe it, and we shaking in our boots. And that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. She said, yeah, all our men and our army is kind of shaking in the boots because they have seen what your God has done. For we have heard how your God dried the waters of the Red Sea for you. Hallelujah. When ye came out of Egypt, and what he did unto the two kings of the Ammonites that were on the other side of the Jordan. That's the first battle I was telling you they had and how they won. They wiped them out. Other side of Jordan, and the kings were Salom and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our heart did melt. She said, our people are afraid of y'all. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you, for the Lord your God is the God of heaven above and the earth beneath. Hallelujah. Now, therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, this Rahab, that you will also show kindness unto not just her, but my father's house, and give me a true token that ye will save alive my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that they have. and deliver our lives from debt. Here we see Rahab didn't go to them and say, just help me. Hallelujah. She looked out for her people. Do we take time and look out for our people? Are we just so selfish? Me, myself, and I. You see, Rahab is now, you know, they say she went on a roof. Rahab is now saying, let's make a deal. Hallelujah. Rahab was a Gentile. She worshiped other gods and was a prostitute. But in them scriptures, it shows us that she is the epitome of a person of faith. Come on, y'all. She hears. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. She heard what God had done and what he was able to do and who he was. She heard and then she believed. God always provides the evidence for us to believe. God didn't ask us one day to wake up and just believe because just to believe. You know how you have some people in your life, the relationship with some people, and they want you to believe in them just because, or to respect them just because. You know, just like respect. Respect is something you have to earn. Believing in someone, you got to believe in them on the evidence of what they have done and how they previously act and even how they act in now. Hallelujah. But you see, God always give the evidence for us to believe. Now that's what took Rahab. Rahab heard and believed and went into action. He give us the evidence to believe who he is. He give us evidence day after day that there's nothing that he cannot do. And he also lets us know and has provided us evidence that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. You see, God is omniscient, which means all-knowing, which allowed him to know that Rahab at the appointed time would have faith. Come on, y'all. You know, some people say, if God done already picked everybody, he want to be saved, why should I be trying? When they say it predestined, it doesn't mean that. What it means is that God is all-knowing. And because he know everything, he know who would receive him, and he knows who won't receive him. So he knew Rahab would receive him. And because of that, and because of the situation, that's what it's called working it out together for your good. You see, God knew Rahab would be on that wall, and he knew when the opportunity presented itself, she was going to believe. And, you know, God searched your heart. He know when she heard the story, she said, that's probably a real true God. And then he used her. See, God's got to know that about us. God's got to know that he can use you for what he want done. God want to know that he could use you. And with that being said, you have to keep yourself in position to be used by God. Don't walk around like you created yourself. Please don't walk around making it up as you go. Oh, I don't think the Bible mean that. Oh, I don't think God mean that. How you know what he mean if you don't read it? You don't have to guess what God mean. And yes, they give me the excuse of so many interpretations, but that's why 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study for yourself. God is not going to let what he expect and what he mean to not be clarified. But it depends on you. You can wake up every day doing it like you want, and soon something come that you don't like, you're going to holler for Jesus. Soon, you know, but you got to ask yourself, what else are you doing fun? He asks us to study his word. He asks us to fellowship with the brethren. He asks us to love our neighbor as ourselves. And he asks us to love the Lord, that God, with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and your might. Come on, y'all. Have plenty of people don't even know what thus said the Lord, but they always got to tell you what's necessary and what's not necessary, and don't take all of that. Well, what book did you read that in? And if you didn't read it in a book, you're getting it out your own mind, and your mind is the terriblest place to get something from, because that's where Satan dwells, and Satan is putting his perception in your mind and hope you take it, and that's what's being done plenty of times, and you're making it up as you go. But I want to tell you tonight, you're not afforded the privilege to be able to make it up. God already wrote it out. It's called the Bible, and it contains 66 books. God knew he could use Rahab for a time like this. Everything that he has created is for his glory. She said, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and earth beneath. That was in the scripture. And then God knew he could use her. Come on, watch this. In spite of, not just because of. And Rahab became the first Gentile convert. Hallelujah. And I'm going to read the last scriptures, and it reads as follows. And the men answered her, the men she made the deal with, the two spies from the Israelites. They say, our life for yours. They say, if you utter not this our business. Some of us will get messed up because we can't hold nothing. He said, yeah, our life for yours, and we're going to take care of you, but you can't go around talking. And it shall be when the Lord has given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Hallelujah. And 15 said, when she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. I'm still reading the scriptures, y'all. I'm in 16 now. And she said unto them, get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you and hide yourselves 3 days until the pursuers has returned. Now, when they return, she's going to let them know. And afterwards, may ye go away. See, she let them down on the side of the wall because, you see, the other side of the wall, the people in Jericho couldn't see them, and the pursuers had gone out to look for them. She knew about how long it would take them in a journey and stuff like that, so she let them out, told them go hide and wait. And the men said unto her, this is the spies, we will be blameless of this thy oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind thy line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou doest let us down by. The same thing you letting us down by, that red scarlet scarf, he say, you put that in your window, and that's going to let me and all of my men know that don't touch that. Hallelujah. And thou shalt bring thy father, thy mother, thy brothers, and all thy father's household home into thee. He said, get them. Get all of their stuff. Get all your kinfolks. Bring them in one place. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of the house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head. They're going to be responsible for themselves if they get out of position. You know, we have to stay in position or we could get knocked down and hurt. That's why so many people are being hurt and they go into so much tragic things happen in their lives because they're out position. He said, get them all in and have them stay right here. Now, if somebody wanted to be hard-headed and went outside, they was on their own. And that's what happened in our lives when we are out of position. And if I had a little more time, I could just say some of the things. And I ain't say y'all out of position, me, you, all of us. If we out of position, some of the things that can happen. But that's another lesson. And he said, we will be blameless, and whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his head shall be upon our head. Like if we don't protect him, it's on us. And if any hand be upon him, and if thou other our business, that's what he's talking about. You see, he's telling them, if you go out and gossip, that gossiping would bring them debt. Don't go out and utter our business. Then we will be, we going to quit our oath, which thou had made us sweat. You go let your mouth be loose? Well, I'm not beholden to you anymore. And 21, and she said, according unto thy words, go ahead, Rahab, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. And 22 said, and they went and came unto the mountains and bore there 3 days. They listened until the pursuers had returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way. But they found them not. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit about Rahab. Surprisingly, Rahab married Salmon. He was the son of Judah. And Judah had importance in the Bible. He was a tribal leader. Eventually they came, and then they accepted Rahab, and they even probably converted her to Judaism, and she became, you know, an Israelite. She got her act together, and she married Salmon, the son of Judah, a tribal leader. You see, watch this, y'all. From this marriage would come their son Boaz. I know many of you may know about Boaz, and some of them you don't, but this will be an opportunity for you to search it. You see, Boaz was a faithful man of God, because Boaz is the one that married Ruth, of the book of Ruth. And Ruth and Boaz had a son named Obi, which became the father of Jesse. And Jesse became the father of King David. You remember when God sent Samuel to go anoint the new king, and he went to Jesse's house, and Jesse had them boys in there, and all of them looked good. And just because they look good, Samuel say, oh, this must be the one, or that's the one. And he had anointed everybody was in the house. And Samuel told him, he said, there got to be somebody else because God sent me here. There's the king is here, and it is one of your sons. He said, well, I got that little boy, that little rugged boy out there tending the sheep named David. He said, well, go get him. And you see what Samuel had pulled the oil on all of the boys. And the way that the oil was going to react was going to let him know if that was the one. So he had pulled the oil on everybody. And then, you know, it flowed off. But you see, when he poured the oil on David, he knew that David was the one. I'm talking about that Jesse, David's daddy. And, of course, David and Bathsheba had Solomon. And from David came, the Bible teaches that Jesus would come from the linkage of David. So you see the connection? You see Rahab? Come on, y'all. So what God has for you is for you. God never allow your past hallelujah, to dictate your future. You see, amazingly, a former prostitute, a Canaanite, a liar, worship idol gods, became what every Israelite and every Christian woman, and I want to say Christian woman, man, boy, or girl, should hope for. Because you see, after she had faith and she believed, you know, in the book of James, they say faith without works is dead. She had faith. She just didn't sit on it. She hid them. She protected them. She lied for them. She let them down, and she gave them instructions. Faith without works is dead. Oh, I have faith. But if you ain't got to keep telling me you got faith, because if you got faith, if I could, and you got works, if I could see your works, I know it's done by faith. Hallelujah. Can anybody see any works in you? And yet you talk about I'm a Christian and, you know, and whatever. I'm just giving y'all a word. If you don't agree with it, check the Bible. I'm not pointing at anyone. It's all about us becoming more and more like Christ. It should all be about us growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because first of all, the more you know, the better you are. The more you know, the more you have to hold on to. God didn't write the Bible for himself. He inspired 40 men of all walks of life to write the Bible for you. And I have to tell you today, if you never read the Bible again in your life at all, never, 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 ever, ever, God is still going to be God. Also, Rahab was an example of what God was going to do for the Gentiles. It was a foreshadowing because she was a Gentile, and God was going to bring the Gentiles in along with the Jews. Her conversion reminds us that one day God will write his laws on our heart and minds of all mankind, converting everyone, because it's God's perfect will that all sorts of men be saved. You see, a transfer life like that experienced by Rahab is there for all of us. We have faith, act on it. We believe, do the work. If a common harlot of Canaan could become an uncommon saint of faith, Rahab, if you know, there's Hebrew, the Bible, Hebrew, the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter is called the Hall of Fame of Faithers, and Rahab's name is in that chapter. Hallelujah. Rahab's name is used through the New Testament to show and clarify a lot of things about God. You see, but she became an uncommon saint of faith and courage and received the privilege of motherhood in the line of Jesus Christ. Then surely nothing is impossible with God. Rahab's amazing story is a lesson for all of us. God never allows our past to dictate our future. He loves us in spite of and not because of. And remember this. What God has for you, it's for you. Just as Rahab heard about the only true and living God, she took a great leap of faith. If they would have found out that what she had done, she would have been killed. But she was willing to die for her faith, for such a great faith. Her name is listed in the Hebrews Hall of Fame. And that's our lesson for tonight. If anyone would like to make any comments, add anything to it, ask for prayer, expound on a lesson, ask a question. I have a caller. Caller, your number is 504-250-12. Your line is open. You may speak now. Caller, 250-12, your line is open. They must have pressed it by mistake. Anyone would like to say anything, ask for prayer, expound on the lesson? Well, that's our lesson for tonight. And next week, if we go in the same order, remember that is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. After Joshua become judges. I'm not giving you the whole book because, of course, time don't allow it. But I pray what I give you make you want to find out even more. God has given us his word. And how far and how fast we go with it, it depends on us. If you're not familiar with these books and didn't know anything about these books, and, you know, you, whatever age you are, should make you want to know. But it all depends on you. So at this time, since there's no prayer request, there's no comments or anything, I'm going to go ahead and bring us to the throne of grace. And, that's going to be our lesson for tonight. And remember, the next lesson we're going to go is in the book of Judges. So here we go. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to say thank you another time for allowing us to have this lesson on tonight. I pray that it won't return void and that people who diligently seek you, the Holy Ghost will give them illumination and revelation. Lord, I'm asking that you look down on my friend, Sister Joyce Brown, at this time in the loss of her husband, Mr. Paul Brown. I want you to pray for, I want to pray for my friend, Pauline Scott, in the death of her brother. I want to pray for Barbara Hawkins and Bonita Washington. I want to pray for Geraldina Ray and Mr. Cheatham. I want to pray for Marion Wright, dear God, in their sickness. Lord, I'm asking that you look down upon the families of the bereaved, the families that's dealing with bereavement, and bless them, dear God. And let them know you're right there with them. The people that are sick, dear God, I pray that they not suffer. And that you heal their bodies, dear God. And you restore their health, dear God, if it's your will. Lord, I want to pray for the people in New Orleans East. Lord, I pray that they hold on to the confession of their faith. Because in times like these, that's all you have. Lord, I pray that you remind them that it's not what you go through, but it's who you go through it with. Lord, I'm asking that you look down upon our nation because everything seems upside down. Look down upon our cities and our states, dear God. Protect us, dear God, just like you did the children of Israel. God, you say in your word, what you do for one, you'll do for another. Lord, give us the desire to trust you, and as rehab, get the faith and keep on moving. Lord, I thank you for the lesson went for tonight, and if it's your will, I'll be back on next Wednesday, dear God. Bless everyone in the sound of my voice. Everybody had a desire to call on, and those that forgot and those that listening by internet. Bless each and every one of us, dear God, and the blessings that we need of. And as always, I am careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor because you deserve it. In the name of Jesus, amen. and thank God. Glory be to your holy name. I just thank you, dear God. I just love you. And that's our program for tonight. I want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. And I pray that your week be full of blessings, honor, and favor, that your strength may be renewed by the word of God. And I ask that each and every one of you, each and every one of us, growing grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's our lesson for tonight. So go out and be blessed, but also be a blessing to someone else. Good night. And be blessed.